www.lifegatechurch.com. If you're wanting to study the Word of God, just go there. 1,000+ sermons, hundreds and hundreds of series that are there. Just about anything you want to study, whether you agree with me or not, is there. And a lot of people don't. You should get some of the things I get. Anyway, it's interesting how people just blast you. But anyway, that's fine. That's fine. At least they're looking, right? That's good. Well, we're talking about staying. Let me tell you about Facebook. Facebook is LifeGate, two words, Facebook. And go on there and type that in and you'll find us and like us. So that's good. What I want to talk about today is staying positive when I'm not happy. Now, we all go through times when we're not happy. And that's not really what I'm talking about. What I'm talking about is when we have a negative life, when we're going through life with a real negative attitude. So I want to talk about that, and I think I can help you if that's you or you know somebody's like that. Maybe you want to get them the CD or notes or whatever. Maybe it'll help them a little bit. But see, because God didn't create life to be endured. God created life to be enjoyed. But so many people go through it as an endurance. I mean, it's like they're having to tolerate life rather than enjoy life. And they enter life. They get out of bed in the morning, and they're complaining before they get to the bathroom. You know, they've already found something to complain about, you know. And they're unhappy walking to the commode. I mean, that's how they're just, they're already unhappy. And they're sour. You know, they're just so sour about life. And they're always finding something to complain about. It's too hot. It's too cold. They're always worrying about something, you know, every little ache and pain. There's always something wrong with them. They're sick, you know. And that's what they've done is they've trained their minds to go negative. They train their selves to think and look at the bad things that are going on in life. There are always bad things happening around them. They've trained their mind and their mouth to complain. Their tongue is never captured. It's always talking about people or talking about this or talking about that in a negative way. And they never think about how things are really good and how things are really going well. Now, any of us, if we were to just allow our heads and our minds to go neutral, just let our minds run wild, we're going to default to negative. That's the human nature. We just default to the wrong way, and we become negative. And what we've got to learn to do is discipline our minds. We've got to put our minds in gear for forward, to go forward, to go positive. And it's something you have to purposefully do. It doesn't come automatic, and it doesn't come easily. It's something that you have to discipline yourself to do. Put yourself in gear to go forward. Now, here's what the scriptures say. First scripture I want to look at today is in Colossians chapter 3 and verse 2. It says, set your mind. Now, that means you got to take some action. You got to put it in gear, right? Set your minds on things where? Above, right? On high thoughts, better thoughts, good thoughts. Not on earthly things, on lower thoughts and abased thoughts. Set your mind. Put your own mind in gear. And just as we have trained our minds to go negative and have a negative mindset, we can train our minds to go positive and have a positive mindset. But you've got to set it. You've got to put the thing into gear. I heard a story, cool story, about an elderly gentleman. He was in his mid-90s. And mostly he was in good health. He was pronounced legally blind, but he could see a little bit, and he walked with a walker mostly for security and mostly just to give him something to lean on, you know, just keep him from messing himself up. He's 95 years old, and he had just recently lost his wife of 70 years. He had decided that what he wanted to do was move into a nursing home. He wouldn't be a burden on anybody, and he would be there, and they could take care of him, and all of his needs would be met. And so he was going to be moving into this nursing home, so he's there, and he's waiting for someone to take him to his room where he's going to be. So this nice young woman walks up to him and begins talking to him and taking him. He says, let me take you to your room. And they begin to go down the corridors, and he's pushing his walker, and he's, you know, she's has her hand on his arm and just kind of walking along. And as she's walking, she's talking to him, and she's telling him how well the room is arranged. She says, you got a nice window. Of course, he couldn't see, but you got a nice window, got a nice view, got a nice desk over here arranged for you so you can do whatever you want to do there, and a nice couch over here arranged, and got a chair arranged here, and arranged another one over here so people can come and visit you, and your bed's arranged over here so it won't be in the way, and the bathroom. And as she's saying all of these things, he says, I love it, I love it, I love it. And she thinks he's just being nice, and knows he can't see very well, and thinks he's there. Well, she says, we're not there yet, sir. She says, we'll be there in just a minute, and I'll show it to you. And he says, oh, no, that's got nothing to do with it. See, he says, happiness is something you predetermine. He said, how my furniture is arranged doesn't matter. He said, what matters, what I will like my room or not like my room is how my mind is arranged. See, we all need to arrange our mind. How you go through life and being happy, how you enjoy life, being happy or being unhappy, is how your mind is arranged. We all go through setbacks, but your setback doesn't have to change your mind. We all go through times of financial difficulties and economics. And, of course, the economics in the world are up and down. Well, you can't allow your economic situation to change your mind. We all face illness, some of us more than others, but we all face illness. And illness will cause you to feel bad physically, but it doesn't have to change your mind and how you think. See, we've got to arrange our minds so that we can enjoy our lives and not just endure our lives. And here's what the scriptures say. I want to look at this one. And I'm reading from the Amplified Bible here in 1 Thessalonians chapter 5 and verse 16. It says what? Be happy. That's not a suggestion. It's be happy in your faith and rejoice and be glad where? Be glad hearted. It's got to get into your heart to be happy, to be glad. It's got to be a subconscious thing. It's got to be a knee-jerk reaction. We have to train ourselves to do that. Because again, if we just let our minds run in neutral, we're going to go negative. We're going to go in a bad direction. He says, be glad continually. How long? How long am I to be glad and be joyful and be happy? Continually, right, always. And I'm reading that now from the NIV version, the same verse, same scripture. It says, be joyful always. Am I only joyful when things are going my way? Am I only joyful when people are treating me right and nobody's offending me? No, I am to be joyful always. A couple of mornings ago, first of this week, I got to stay home. And when I get to stay home, it's according to my schedule, what I've got to get done, I like to go and, you know, and get my coffee and go set my recliner and kick it back and get my board. Then I put my laptop on, lay my laptop, crank it up. And I like to write sermons. That's what I do. Whether I'm working or not working, I'm writing a sermon sometimes during the day. Even on vacations, I enjoy writing sermons. And I'm sitting there and I'm leaning back and I'm beginning to work. Well, directly to my left is a window. And immediately outside of the window is this large dogwood tree. And birds were in that dogwood tree singing. Big birds were chirping really loudly, you know, and singing really loudly. And the little birds were chirping along too. And they were kind of backup singers, you know, but they were out there singing. And to my right is our dining room. And to the wall behind the dining room table are two windows. And I look out those windows to our backyard. We have a slope back there. And along that slope are four dogwood trees. Well, birds were back there singing too. Big birds singing really loudly, you know, and the backup birds were singing as well. And, you know, when I started to get up and go outside and say, what are you birds doing? What are you doing singing? Do you not know that just yesterday the stock market took a hit? Well, listen, we lost a lot of money yesterday. Do you not know that? Do you not read the newspaper? Do you not know how crazy our nation is going? Do you not know that? Have you not heard the news? And what about Iran developing a nuclear war? What are you going to, are you singing? And I was thinking, you know, isn't that what Jesus said? But, you know, he says, don't worry about that stuff. You know, worrying about it's not going to change it. Worrying about it is not going to change a thing. He says you can't even add a cubit to your stature. You can't grow an inch by worrying about how tall you are. He said, you don't worry about that. He says, think on the good things. Seek first the kingdom of God and all these things. Seek first the righteousness and the peace and the joy. And then all this other stuff will just take care of itself. Because God's in control. I'm not in control. The government really is not in control. Now, I don't understand all I'm saying here, but I know that, like I said last week, I have come to the conclusion that nothing happens without God allowing it. So why am I going to get out there and fuss at the birds? Right? So what we've got to do is we've got to discipline our minds to think positive and to be happy. We've got to do that. You see, every one of us experiences clouds. God reigns on the just and the unjust. All of us have good weather and bad weather. The just do and the unjust do as well. And this particular week, you know, this last week, we've had a lot of storms, a lot of clouds coming in. All week it's been kind of raining, you know. But all of us know that above the clouds, the sun is still shining. Right? And those clouds, they're going to be here 3, 4, 5, 6 days, maybe. Then they're going to move on because they're temporary. But that sun is eternal. And that sun is going to shine on you again. And that's what happens in our life. We all go through rainy times, cloudy times. We all go through stormy times of life. We're all going to do it. We're all going to experience it. But I want to tell you that no matter what you're going through right now, no matter what's going on in your marriage, no matter if you've lost a loved one and you're grieving, I want you to know that no matter what's going on in your occupation or in your home or with your children or whatever's going on in your life, it's going to shine again on you. What we've got to do is just stay happy during the time. And as we become happy, then what God's going to do is that happiness is going to blow those clouds right out of the way. We've got to find something to be happy about in life. And when we do, those things will move on out of our life. What we want to do is learn how to be happy. Because when we're happy, things are going to change in our lives. The key to having a happy life is a thankful heart. The key to life, of having a happy life and a fun life, is having a thankful heart. See, it is absolutely impossible for negative seeds to take root in a thankful heart. It can't happen. It won't happen. It's impossible for it to. And what I've learned is that the tiniest little thankful thing that I can say and that I can relate to God and thank God for can move the biggest cloud. I mean, the tiniest little thanksgiving seems to immediately move the biggest cloud that I'm experiencing. It is the key to happiness, right? And we've got to learn how to give thanksgiving. Now, maybe you're not happy today. Or you're going to be tempted in days to come to not be happy. I want to tell you the fastest way that you can get up and out of that. The fastest way to get the clouds gone and to get lifted up out of that is to give thanks to God. What you want to do is not focus on what you don't have, but find something that you do have and thank God for it. Thank God for what you do have. Don't get all complaining about what you don't have in life. See, I've learned that the tiniest little thing we give thanks to God will just move those clouds right out of the way, and you just get lifted right up out of it, and the next thing you know is you're not even focused on that negative thing again. Here's what the scriptures say. In the Amplified Bible, I'm reading it again in 1 Thessalonians 5:16. It says, thank God, how? In or are? In or for? Thank God in everything. Not for everything, but in everything. No matter what the circumstance. Now, what that's saying is no matter what circumstance I find myself in, find something to thank God for. That's what this is saying to us. In whatever circumstances, maybe be thankful and what? Give. Give thanks. Think thanks or give thanks? Give thanks. Say it. Say it. Don't just think it. Actually, activate your mouth and give thanks for it. Be thankful and give thanks. Now, watch this part. For this is the what? The what? The will of. What is the will of God for me? For me to give thanks, to be thankful. Am I right? So when I'm not giving thanks, what am I? I am not in the will of God. Can He bless me if I'm not in His will? Will He bless me if I'm not? So what I want you to see is while that's up there right now, when we are unhappy, when we are grumbling and complaining, when we're finding something wrong and faultful with every single thing, God cannot bless us because we are out of His will. And if you're a Christ follower, and that's what it says here, well, this is the will of God for you who are in Christ Jesus. If you are a Christian and you name the name of Jesus Christ, it is God's will for you to give Him thanks. And when you don't do that, you're out of His will. And you're out of the blessings. And we've been saying this all along. See, this is why we're doing this series, is we've got to find a way to remain positive no matter what's happening in our life. When this happens or when that happens, we've got to find a way to be positive. So it's when, it's in the things. When circumstances come, then I need to find something in that circumstance to give thanks to God for. Now, Judy, as most of you know, went through a physical time here lately, struggling physically. She had some trouble with her kidneys. But I'm going to talk more about it in a moment. But in this time, what she became is extremely thankful. She was very thankful for her family. She was very thankful for you. She was so thankful she would say, "I feel the prayers of people." And she would read your prayers on Facebook, and you know, she would talk about that. And anything that she thought that was negative, she'd repent. "I am sorry I said that. I'm sorry that I said that 10 years ago. I am sorry." And she was so thankful. And I'm telling you, it works. I mean, when you become thankful, the darkest cloud, the thing that you're experiencing, can be moved away because we become thankful. Now, you may say, "Well, Delbert, that's fine. That's cool. But my marriage is falling apart. I'm about to lose my wife, my children, my home. I'm about to lose everything. And you want me to find something to be thankful for in that?" Yeah, I do. But don't focus on the marriage. What you need to focus on is something else to be thankful for. And I'll explain what I'm saying here. You know, maybe you've got a great job. Well, then thank God for you have a great job. Or you're in good health. Well, thank God that you have good health. Or you've got good kids. You know, thank God for the kids. You know, but find something other than your marriage. Because when you're focusing on that negative marriage, your marriage is going to get worse. Because all you're doing is watching the bad, watching the negative. If you'll begin to focus on something else, focus on something else that God is doing for you, you will eventually swing around to being positive about your marriage and thankful for your marriage. But you've got to find a beginning point where you can be thankful. We've got to train ourselves to do this. We've got to discipline ourselves to do this. Right. Thankfulness can change anything. I don't know of a situation that cannot be turned around, but amazing things happen when you're thankful. Amazing things can happen, like turn a relationship around. Somebody's at odds with you, or you're at odds with someone. I have learned, it took me most of my life to learn this, but if I will approach that thing, even if I have to address it with thankfulness, and thank the person for all they've done for me, thank the person for being there for me, and then address the situation, I've learned that works. But if I just attack it like a lion, like I used to do, I've learned, hey, you know, you're going to hurt somebody, and they're going to leave. They're not going to tolerate you. So, but being thankful and letting somebody know how thankful you are in a relationship will absolutely change the relationship. Being thankful will turn your marriage situation around. It will save your marriage. Being thankful will save your job when others are being cut. You go to your employer and you tell your employer, "Thank you for my job. Thank you." Even if you really don't like it that much, at least be thankful that you have a job, right? And tell them, "Thank you for my job. I want you to know I appreciate your employing me." Or being thankful can open the door for you to get a promotion. Well, listen, people don't want negative people. They're not going to promote you if you go around talking about them and being negative about your job. They're not going to promote you. But if you're thankful, that's what they're looking for. They want somebody that's going to be positive, that's somebody that's going to make a good impression, be thankful that they have a job there. Thankfulness will just about turn around anything. But again, we've got to discipline ourselves to be thankful. It just won't come natural. You've got to put that thing in gear, and you've got to go forward with it. You've got to wake up every morning being as positive as possible. Again, you can't let these negative thoughts come into your head on the way to the bathroom. You can't do that. You've got to find a way to be positive, because what's going to happen as you're standing in front of that mirror, what's going to take place is those negative thoughts, those negative things are going to start taunting you. And we get in agreement with them. You know, okay, it's raining today. It's going to be a bad day. It is. It's going to be a bad day. And, you know, I don't want to go to work. I don't really want to go to work. You know, Grumpy's going to be at work, and I don't like Grumpy. I don't want to see Grumpy. You know what? I don't think I'm going to go to work today. I'm just going to lay out. And we get in agreement with it. You know, we say, yeah, it is going to be a bad day. It's going to be a bad day. And I don't want to go to work. Or we got a little pain and a little discomfort inside. You know what? I bet I got the same thing Grandma had. You know, Grandma died from that. I bet I'm going to die. And we get an agreement with it. No, here's what you got to start doing. Is instead of letting yourself talk to you, you've got to start talking to yourself. You have got to taunt it, not allow it to taunt you. Right? And you can't get an agreement with that. No, you got to say, it's not going to be a bad day. It's going to be a wonderful day. I'm going to get to bless somebody today. I'm going to get to do something good for somebody today. I'm going to get to encourage someone. I'm going to get to give someone a compliment today. I am, you know what? And because I do that, I'm sowing a seed that God can bless me. I can't wait to see how God blesses me today. Now, when we stick it in that gear and we start moving in our day in that particular forward gear, listen, I'm telling you, we're setting ourselves up for a blessing. And we've got to do that. And again, you know, these aches and pains we have. Back to Judy's situation. Her thoughts taunted her. It taunted her. And she didn't want to talk on the phone about it. Every time, you know, she had to talk about it, she had to relive it and go back through what was going on, the negative aspects of it. And she didn't want to say that. So she didn't want people calling her. And she would read the prayers and things. And everybody was praying for her on Facebook. And she was so appreciative of that. But, you know, she would get into this taunting thing. You know, it'd taunt her. And I would tell her, Judy, you know, you're going to be okay. Yes, you're really sick. But we're going to get through this. We're going to get through this like we've got through everything else. You're going to be okay. You're going to be okay. Now, coming from me is one thing, you know. But Paula Lytle, bless her heart. Paula Lytle just wouldn't leave her alone. But she wouldn't call her. But she would text her every single day. And she would say to Judy, she says, here's what I want you to do. I want you to say every single day, I'm getting better every day. I'm getting better in every way. I'm getting better every day. I'm getting better in every way. And Paula would send her that text every single day. So every day, Judy's having to say, I'm getting better every day, and I'm getting better in every way. And I'm telling you, it works. It works when this happens to us, when we start not allowing our thoughts to taunt us, but instead we talk to ourselves and not let ourselves taunt us. I'm telling you, it changes everything. The clouds roll away. We become thankful in our hearts, and things start lifting us up, and we start experiencing new blessings and new ways of life. I just know this happens. And see, this is what we're really supposed to do. We're supposed to talk to ourselves. And I do it all the time. She gets tickled at me. She says, are you talking to me? And I said, no, I'm talking to myself. Well, what, you're answering yourself? Yeah, I answer myself. But we're supposed to do this. And I'll show you. See, David was experiencing some bad things. And in Psalms 42:10, he writes this. My bones suffer mortal agony. What's he saying? I am dying here. You know, I've got bone cancer or something going on. You know, this is killing me. My bones suffer mortal agony, and my foes taunt me. See, when that taunting thought comes, it's a foe. You might not think it's a foe. You might just think it's a bad thought, but no, it's a foe to you. Because here's what it's really telling you. My foes taunt me, saying to me all day long, where is your God? If God really loved me, he wouldn't let me be sick. If God really loved me, he wouldn't be letting those people talk about me like that. If God really loved me, he wouldn't let this happen to me. Where is your God? See, that's what taunting does. Where is your God? Here's David's resolve for it. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Who is David talking to here? Who? His own soul. He's talking to his own mind. He's talking to his own thoughts. He's talking to himself here. Why are you downcast, O my soul? Why so disturbed within me? Why are you so agitated in me? And then he says this, put your hope in God. Stop looking at what's going wrong and start looking at what's going right. Put your hope in God. And he says, for, here's the reason, I will yet praise him. What's he saying here? This thing isn't going to take me down. This thing isn't going to destroy me. I'm going to live through it, and I'm going to praise God again. I am going on, he says here, my Savior and my God. See, you got to get your focus off of what's going wrong and what's negative in your life and put your focus on God in your life. See, God's on the throne. You realize what I'm saying here? Listen, your sickness isn't on the throne. Your sickness doesn't dictate your destiny. The rain is raining, but that rain does not dictate your destiny. That rain is not on the throne. Your marriage doesn't dictate your destiny. God and God alone dictates your destiny. And when we finally come to that place, I'm going to put my hope in God. I'm not going to let this thing take me down. I'm not going to let this thing disturb me. And we live in such a negative society. News is all bad. Iraq, Iran, China's going to, they're going to get inside of all of our computers. All the news is always bad, always bad. Even if you talk to Christians, it's so bad that even God's upset. God's just going to blow the whole planet up because it's so bad. Right. Isn't that what Christians tell you? It's apocalypse. That's what's happening. It's apocalypse. Well, I want you to know, no. God is not going to blow this planet up. I want you to see what Isaiah says. Here's what Isaiah said in Isaiah 61 and verse 3. It says, to appoint unto them that mourn. To appoint, this is what I want to appoint to those that are down. Those that are downcast. Those that are having a difficult time. Those that are going through a cloudy day. This is what I want to appoint to them. Them in Zion. Zion is the church. Them in Zion. To give unto them beauty for ashes. Now, what's he saying? I want them to stop looking at the crash and burns, and I want them to start looking at the beautiful things in their life. Get your focus off the crash and burns and off the ashes and start looking at the beautiful things in life. This is what he's appointed for us. He says, the oil of joy, the oil of joy for mourning. See, instead of mourning, instead of being down, you change colognes, change perfumes. Get your let me say it this way. Maybe this will hit us. We're stinking to God when we're unhappy, when we're negative. We stink. He says, I want some different oil on you. I want some different perfume on you. I want you to smell different. I want a different cologne. Change how you smell. Change your aura. Change your aroma. And the garment of praise. Get those rags of sadness and badness off. And put on the garment of praise for the spirit of heaviness. Get that heavy thing off of you. Change clothes. Get ready to praise God. Get yourself dressed up like you come to church on Sunday so you can praise God. Get all that nasty, stinky stuff off of you. Here's the first reason that he says this, that they might be called trees of righteousness. This is the right thing to do. The right thing to do is get out of the negativism. Get out of that and start looking at the beauty. He says, this is the right thing to do, the planting of the Lord. And here's what I really want us to see. Here's the reason, that he, God, might be glorified. Listen to me. You are not bringing God glory when you're negative. You are stinking. You are crashing and burning. You are raggedy. And what God says here is, listen, here's what I'm appointing to you. He says, I want you to do three things. First of all, I want you to get your eyes unfocused on the crash and burns and the ashes. I want you to really focus on the beauty in your life. Number two, I want you to smell different. I want you to have a different aura on you. I want you to change your cologne, change your perfume. And the third thing, I want you to get out of those raggedy clothes. Put on some garment of praise. That's what he wants us to do. See, we don't bring glory to God when we're like that. You cannot be negative when you're praising God. It's impossible to have negative thoughts that overwhelm you and press you down when you are praising God. Now, I'm speaking from somebody who has experienced this, going through some tough times. And I might be down all week, going through a tough time. Oh, woe is me, you know. But I come in here on Sunday mornings, and as soon as we start praising, and my hands go up, and I begin praising God. Listen, the clouds go. Everything changes. I get lifted up. And I want to tell you, this is why you ought to be here every Sunday. Not to come and hear me preach, but to come and praise God. Because this is all most of you ever get. All week long, you don't praise God. You don't think about God until you come here. And you got 20 minutes a week of praise and worship. And then you go Monday, Tuesday, Wednesday, you start getting down. Thursday, Friday, say, oh God, woe is me. And if you miss Sunday, you're negative again. And you're out of God's will again. And you're not glorifying God again. But when we come in here, just for these 20 minutes that we have praise and worship, it changes your week. We need to come and realize this is what happens with a thankful heart changes things. Praising God will change things for us. And we need to be thankful. We need to thank God. We need to thank God that He gave us another day. We need to thank God that we lived through another night. We need to thank God for every single day that we have. We need to thank God for His kindness and for His mercy. We need to thank God. In all of these situations, we need to come to a place where we just thank God, thank God, thank God. I want to end up with this particular thought and this particular verse of Scripture. So beautiful. Psalms 90, verse 12. Teach us to number our days aright. Wow, what a beautiful thought. Teach us to number our days aright. That word aright means correctly, properly, importance. Teach me to see the importance of every day. Teach me to see how to do each day properly. Teach me to live each day correctly. And here's why. That we may gain a heart of wisdom. See, you're not wise if you're negative. You're not wise if you're unhappy. God, teach me. Teach me the wisdom of seeing the importance in every single day. God, teach me the wisdom that every day is to me, that it's a gift from you, that every day is a present from you. Judy's grandfather, he lived with us for his last year, but all through life, they would always get Pawpaw to pray. Even though I was a preacher, they'd get Pawpaw to pray. And Pawpaw would always pray this. He would always say at our Thanksgiving meals, he would always say, oh, gracious Heavenly Father. He would talk in King James. And he would say, we thank you once again for thou giving us once more day, one more year. He was thankful for every day. He was thankful for every year. And that was the first thing he prayed when he prayed. And he lived to be 91 years old. It works. And when he died, he only wore glasses if he was reading his Bible. He walked with a cane, but he really didn't need it. His eyes wasn't a bait. He's like Moses. I want you to know, listen, Lord, thank you. Teach me the wisdom of appreciating. It's a present. It's a gift from you every single day. God, teach me the wisdom of being kind to the people who love me and the people I love, the people you've put into my life. Teach me the wisdom of that and the appreciation of that. Lord, teach me the wisdom of focusing on the good and the things of beauty and not the ashes. Thank you, Lord. Teach me the wisdom that's in that. Thank you, Lord. Teach me the wisdom of not taking for granted one single day, not one single minute of any day. Lord, teach me the wisdom of that. Lord, teach me the wisdom of not waiting until Valentine to say, I love you. Teach me the wisdom that there is in not waiting until Thanksgiving to give thanks to people and thanks to you. Teach me the wisdom. Let me count that in my day. Let me see the importance of that. Teach me the wisdom, Lord God, of coming to a place in my life where I don't wait for Christmas to give gifts. Teach me that every single day is an opportunity. Every single day. Every single day of my life, I can use it or I can abuse it. Every single day of my life, Lord God, I can use it or I can trash it. I can use it, I can invest it or I can trash it. Teach me how every single day is an opportunity and it's irreplaceable. Once it's gone, It's gone. Teach me the wisdom that knowing I'll never be able to get it back and to live it like it's my last one. Because one day will be. And this could be. Teach me the wisdom of that, Lord God. So how are you running your life? How do you count your days? How are you doing it? Are you focused on your problems in life? Are you focused on what you don't have in life? Are you focused on how someone hurt you and said something about you 3 years ago? See, we got to trash that garbage. And we've got to begin to learn how to discipline our lives to appreciate it and count every day so precious and to be happy about it. And no matter what the circumstance may be, we've got to discipline ourselves that we engage in the positive and we don't allow ourselves to complain. We don't allow ourselves to think about the bad things in life, be unhappy. We don't think about the small things in life, if it's too hot or if it's too cold. We don't allow ourselves, we discipline ourselves so that we don't allow ourselves to worry about every little ache, every little pain. We got to come to the place where we engage in life and we realize that every single day is so special. We got to come to the place where we're concerned about more about arranging our minds than arranging our furniture. Arranging our furniture, it's not going to make you happy. Arranging your mind will. See, your happiness has to be predetermined. I am going to be happy today. Talk to yourself. We got to realize that the key to having a happy life is having a thankful heart. And that my being thankful, I have to be thankful in every situation, not for every situation. And my being thankful can turn around just about any circumstance. Any relationship, marriage situation, work situation. Just being thankful is like God's specific blessings on us. It moves away the dark clouds and brings the sunshine into our lives. I can't allow myself to taunt me. I have got to talk to myself and say, no, it's going to be a wonderful day. I'm getting better every day. I'm getting better in every way. I can't focus on the ashes where I've crashed and burned or where someone's hurt me. I've got to focus on the beauty. I have got to get on the aroma that is pleasing to God. I've got to get the stench off of negativity. I've got to change clothes, put on the garment of praise, come to praise and worship Him because takes away the spirit of heaviness. I've got to learn the importance of every single day. I bring glory to God, and I'm in the will of God when I number my days with wisdom, when I see and cherish how precious every single day is, when I invest into it and not waste it, when I use it and not abuse it, when I understand and I realize that it is this day that's irreplaceable. I only get one this day. There is no other day like this day. Once it's gone, it's gone. The way I bring glory to God is by being positive. The way I'm in the will of God is by being positive. Everything else is garbage. I've got to learn how to do it. I've got to learn. I've got to discipline myself so that I can do it. And when I do, I go up a level in life. Open windows of heaven. The favor of God's upon me. I put myself in a position where He can bless me. And He'll bless you too. Let's pray. Father, thank You for this time. Thank You for Your word. Father, I so pray that this becomes a part of me. And that, Lord, You remind me. Oh, well, buddy, you're messing up. I can't bless you there. Get happy. Have a happy heart. Have a glad heart. That's my will for you. I will bless you. I will take you places that you want to go. You'll have a life that you want to have. Be happy. Father, thank You.